This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber. Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The crowd was singing high hopes, smiling through a broken nose. Oh, high hopes, high hopes.
I feel a little less alone.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller Time Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly, Fritzy. Not a lot of celebrating going on this weekend, pal. Other than Rory McIlroy, that was cool. Shout out to Rory.
Yep, plus 650. So that was the biggest thing that happened yesterday. We don't even, do we need to discuss the game? No.
No,
the,
okay, I can go nap now?
No naps. There's a lot, distress. Everything is hit the panic button. Yeah, so it was one of those weekends where it was a good time to have some Miller Lights there, Seltzer.
You're not wrong, Jack. It was a frustrating weekend of baseball. Yeah. The bats went cold.
Man. Hey, James, you know what it felt like? October.
Oh, there you go.
It sure did. The last 20 straight retired yesterday.
Oh, yeah, bud. I mean, you didn't know Matthew Liberatore was a Cy Young caliber type pitcher?
Well, if you listen to this podcast in the 2019 draft, whatever draft he was in, I was pretty Liberatore'd up, but he's definitely not good. You definitely should not get absolutely mowed down by Matthew Liberatore. So listen, It was an infuriating weekend. I didn't feel like off the Braves series. The Braves series was
fine. They were all close games.
A desperate team. Even Friday, listen, I would hate to be excuse guy. Don't want to be that guy. But they got to St. Louis at 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah. You
know, I know that we have to pretend that they need to be on all the time, but I guess you could excuse that away. Yesterday was just they showed up and wanted to go home. That's what made it yesterday so annoying. And I know there's a lot of camps, I think, currently of Phillies fans. And I think that there's a this is early. What are we freaking out about camp? Which I'm mostly in, but also not like poo-pooing some of the real stuff we're seeing, James. I mean, there's real concern for this team. And I know that they're 9-6, and that's their best start in 15 years, which is funny. But three of those games were against the Rockies that they beat the Rockies and, you know, who are the worst team in baseball. They didn't score
the Rockies
a run this.
Didn't score a run this. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're 3-12. So, yeah,
exactly. So I think there's actually validity on both sides, James, and I'm not really in the mood to poo-poo the our pets' heads are falling off crowd, because I think that there's like, I think there's real concern with the team.
Yeah, that's where I'm at too. Like you know me, I'm very big on the not freaking out early thing, and it is a long season and it is early. Like it is. I mean, we are barely into this season, but I don't think the length of a season is going to make Brandon Marsh good. Like, sorry, like he's not a starting outfielder in the major league. The Phillies do not have a starting center fielder on the roster right now. They don't. Max Kepler, like we like Kepler. So far has given him nothing. Alec Bohm, after offseason of trade rumors where he got benched in the playoffs because of his freaking attitude, comes back and is exactly the same guy. Like, it didn't even pretend to try and act differently. We didn't even like give it a shot to be like, oh, maybe I'll, I know there are cameras on me at all times. Let me just for a moment, you know, control my emotions like a grown adult can. Like, so I'm with you. And obviously, look, the bullpen's been better than the last time we recorded the pod. But I think, you know, we still have questions about it, certainly when the games matter more. So I'm with you. It's early. They're still a good baseball team comparatively. I think they, you know, I'm not panicking. But when you look at these issues with the team, and especially to your point, your joke, I should say, with the way the last season ended and really the last two seasons ended, you know, I think that people are right to be concerned about this right now.
Yeah, and I think the thing that continues to just hit me in my gut, and sure, I kind of felt this way when the season ended, but now that we're back and nothing's really changed, by the way, it's pretty ridiculous to me that like Bohm has looked like the same exact player since when he, now defensively he's different, I get that, but offensively he's basically looked like the same player since they drafted
him. Same guy.
I mean,
same
just,
dude.
Just no improvement, really. I mean, not even an ounce of I should maybe lift the baseball more or something like that. Like, there's been nothing from that standpoint. Brandon Marsh, I don't think he's gotten any, like, his best
he's
time here.
Worse.
Was,
Brandon Marsh has regressed. His best time here is 2022.
And, like, some portions of the beginning of last year where he looked good. And the thing that keeps hitting me in my gut is, and the more and more you watch them, is I think that there just needs to be a bold move coming somewhere. You know, and I know that you can't make a big trade right now. We know that. And maybe the big bold move is in July and they shake this thing up. But I think even a bold move before that with again, fast tracking some of these prospects and shaking things up somehow, because you look at them and they just look ripened for a shakeup. And of all the things that have annoyed me with running it back and keeping things status quo, the one that continues to bother me is keeping Kevin Long around. And it's been 3 years of the same thing has troubled this team. And he might just be a dinosaur from the standpoint of his whole mentality is hunt fastball, hunt fastball, hunt fastball. And guess what? They get breaking ball to death and they can't do anything about it. And it's been 3 years of this. Ever since the Diamondback series, it's been, there's one way to beat the Phillies, and there hasn't been real adjustments. I mean, Schwarber's the one that has adjusted, which is great. You know, Schwarber, where would this team be without Kyle Schwarber? We know that. But yeah. on the point of Bohm not getting an ounce better, on Marsh not getting an ounce better, Rojas not developing, even Stott feels like maybe he's plateaued. I think he's had a good start to the season. Obviously, had the big hit on Saturday to back in the leadoff spot and whatever. But you just look up and down the lineup, and like they need to find. And I hope they turn it around. I hope the offense gets going, but it's hard to like feel that way right now. But they need to find the Cotham of hitting coaches, because I think that he is being left behind in where the sport is going. And I think pitching wise, they feel up there. I think they're a top five pitching organization in the sport. I think with Cotham and crew, they're there. But hitting every single year, and the national media buys into it when they look at the Phillies top to bottom, they're like, they're pretty loaded. And then we here watching the team, we're like, trust us. You know, it doesn't always look right. And I know you can't put it all on the hitting coach, and I get that. But at the same time, not an ounce of getting better. The chase was good at the beginning of the season. Feels like it's cooled off. Strikeouts are back to being an issue. Runners in scoring position is
unbelievable.
Just dreadful. I mean, dreadful.
As bad as a week-long stretch as I remember. I mean, we've talked many times over the past years about them not coming through the scoring position. I mean, what were they, like 1 for 18? One for the last 18?
I think they're 4 for their last 38.
They have been – I think they're 4 for more than that. I think it's 4 for like 50-something. Like, they've nice. Been horrendous.
Well, when Trey got the hit on Saturday with 2 outs and a runner on third, I said I'd never seen that in my life. I've never seen the Phillies get a 2-out just normal base knock when they had failed in the last couple of batters to get a runner in from third base. Been excruciating at that, by the way. I mean, there's been a lot of instances the last couple of games where second and third, no outs or one out, and just not getting the job done. I mean, there's been such a lack of execution and getting a job done. It's infuriating. I'm fine if you want to bring back Thompson. You don't think he's a problem. We know that Coffin's not a problem. And if you want to bring back the guys because you feel like you're stuck, okay. Kevin Long, I think he feels like the first domino to fall here if this doesn't turn around. But, you know, just not trying to upgrade that position and try to be the best. I think it's actually lazy. I thought it was lazy to bring back Kevin Long. And I just, it's frustrating that we're seeing the same stuff again and the same guy who's been echoing the same message and not advancing this team with a team full of all-stars is really infuriating.
Yeah, it's crazy. Honestly, everything you just said, and even if it weren't that stark and that obvious, like, you got to do something at some point. You know, we talked about they didn't, you know, really change it up in the offseason. They haven't changed anything the last couple of years since it's been happening. At a certain point, you know, you just have to do something to shake things up. You have to do something to put a jolt into this team. And that's the kind of thing that, if nothing else, maybe they wake some people up. But to your point, it's hard to look at this. Look, we know that, you know, they could get hot in the playoffs. We saw it in 2022, and granted, Reese was here. It's a little bit different lineup, but they could get hot and go on a run. I mean, that's
possible. Well, it's not like he was the measure of consistency.
Right. Yeah. I don't know how you could look at this. But to your point, I don't know how you can look at this lineup and expect it to change because it's been so consistently the same thing for the last, you know, 2 years, almost year and a half.
Well, and the guys are, to me, it looks like they're crumbling under the pressure.
Well, that's the other thing. And not just that, Jack, not just crumbling under the pressure. It seems like they're not having fun. It seems like they're just putting so much on them. Like there's nothing enjoyable about watching this team, or it feels like there's nothing enjoyable happening when they're playing.
Well, and that's where I think we said at the beginning of the season, I appreciate there being no daycare. I appreciate there being no dumping water on guys' heads after games. And we appreciate the uptick, I guess, in seriousness. But what comes with that is also when things aren't going bad and there's a tight clubhouse, this is what you get. I mean, I'd never heard Brandon Marsh as down as I heard him after the game.
Oh
yesterday.
My God, Jack, honestly, like, and I, you know, it is what it is, but like, I felt horrible for him. It sounded like he was going to cry when he was talking. I was actually like, is he about to bust into tears here?
Yeah. Well, and that's what the sport can do to you. I mean, again, baseball and golf, and then watching Rory, there was times yesterday where I was like, oh, here comes the crumble. And he missed that putt on 18. Mm-hmm. He started the day with a double bogey. It's just these sports, they can just mess with you so much mentally. And in a case like Brandon Marsh, it was tough to watch yesterday with the post-game press conference, but at the same time, he's 0 for April.
And had a horrendous defensive day. I mean, that inning was, I mean, he looked, for the first time ever, he looked lost in the outfield.
Well, and especially because he's arguably, I mean, he is a top three defensive left fielder in baseball. So that was what was surprising about that. Boom, we talked about. Now, he did, I guess, like, he had a better weekend from the standpoint of, like, I did think he hit some balls hard and it wasn't all first pitches, but still, I mean, a lot of bat slams and still not looking the part. I mean, he's hitting 150. I think Marsh has a higher OPS than Bohm.
I believe he does. I think you're correct about that. Yes, that is correct.
Which feels impossible. I guess because the home run against the Nationals, I guess that's why. I think Bohm is still, I think he has one extra base hit, and I believe that
double in the, yeah, great.
Yeah, yeah. So that's great. That's awesome. But to his credit, while he hasn't been great, I think Stott has handled it better. Like, I don't think he's crumbling. I think, you know, I think that those two specifically are just, it feels like there's been, again, an uptick in pressure, and they feel it. And I'm sure that Crawford being at AAA has added some pressure to that. And they're not handling it very well. They're just not handling it very well. And it's totally, I mean, it's obviously hurting them from that standpoint. But at the same time, James, at the same time, like, the guys at the top have to be better too. And the stars in this team have to be better. And Trey's down to 240. And it feels like I know he's got to hit like 9 out of 10 games or whatever, but it's a lot of 1-4s. You know what I mean? Like a 1-for-5 or a 1-for-4. Now, he did have the home run in Atlanta. He had the hit on Saturday to extend the lead. Great. But again, I think Marsh is what he is. The guys at the top. I mean, even Harper, you know, he smoked the ball in the first inning yesterday. Didn't go out. You know, happens. He'll be fine. It's not, but like Turner's the one. You know, Schwarber's been great. Harper's got to get going from the power standpoint. Castellanos has been really good when he's not in the four spot. Mm-hmm. I mean, Trey has always kind of been the swing guy. If he's a star, they're going to be good. If he's this, they're going to be okay.
Yeah, no, and look, we knew that coming into the season. We said it, and it's just even more apparent when Boehm's not giving you anything, when you're getting nothing out of the bottom of the lineup. To your point, you're right. You know, we have a tendency to do that where we'll focus on the not, you know, the Rojases or the Marshes or whatever when they're struggling and not give enough weight to the struggles of the guys at the top of the lineup. But we do that all the time, and it's absolutely correct. I mean, Trey Turner will make this team go far more one way or the other than Marsh or Rojas will. But so, but I like, do you expect more from Trey? Do you expect Trey to turn it around? Like, where are you at with Trey? Where are you at with, you know what I mean? Like, cause that, like, I'm with you on this, but at the same time, like, I don't know where that leaves us, you know? Cause if Trey's not going to turn around, like, I mean, it's a disaster.
Well,
we got a lot bigger problems than the little stretch we're in right now.
Yeah. I don't want to say, because I think that's letting him off the hook, and I think he's better than this. Like, I just don't want to say that this is who he is. I guess I just refuse to believe that, because he is a guy that has hit. He's led the league in hitting, and I know we haven't always seen that here. We've seen some really hot stretches and way more up and down. And I do agree from the standpoint of he's been better to start this season, I guess, but still, he is down to 240. So I guess I just refuse to believe that I have to accept that this is who he is, because if that's true, then we have a lot, like, that's a huge problem. Now, I will say, defensively, hasn't been horrible. He's actually looking kind of spry out there at shortstop.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, but it just comes down to the dish. So he has to be better. I think he can be better. And I'm sort of at the point where it's definitely more hoping than believing, I would say, but I'm certainly still in the camp of he will be better, and there's a better version of Trey Turner. And I think if they get a better version of Trey, I just think that it makes everything that much easier, and it's an easier pill to swallow when Marsh is hitting 150, or actually might be below that. I think Boehm's hitting 150. And what made last year fine at the beginning of the year, even because I know people will bring up, well, they stuck with Casty and look how that worked out. Casty was the only one that was really killing them. I mean, you look at the lineup right now, Turner's not been great. Harper's not been great, but he'll be fine. We know that. JT, mostly you know, mostly just there. Boehm, no, a zero. Marsh, a zero. Kepler, about a zero. I mean, like, a little bit better than a zero, but still,
more or less a zero. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's the issue, is that when you get past five in the lineup, holy smokes. I mean, that's a real issue. It's a massive, massive issue with this team that I don't know how you address right now. And again, outside of shaking it up by calling up one of the kids, I mean, Crawford has a 678 OPS, I believe, in AAA. It's not like he's
not
lighting
like he's
the world.
Tearing it up. Yeah.
Now, he was hitting 325 before this weekend, had a down weekend, and I do trust that he would not strike out. I mean, he does have strikeouts, but I think he does a good job of putting the bat on the baseball. Maybe just bring him up and see what he does. I mean, remember the Mets last year? They brought up Acuna, and I didn't think he was that good. And he kind of gave that team a little bit of spark there in August and September. Rincones, I still think, and he's actually doing well at AAA. Like, he smoked the ball 112 miles an hour on Saturday, and then hit a home run on it. But again, like, then you're just pulling the plug on Kepler, who you signed this offseason, because he can't play center field. I mean, Rincones can't play center field unless you want to try Kepler in center field and get nuts. And then you have like a super slow outfield. I don't know, but I do I just have a feeling that there's going to be a Marsh send down one of these days. I really do. I he's got two options left. They can send him down without having to place him on waivers. And if given what he's doing right now, I would not be shocked if he gets sent down. I mean, even soon. Like it's almost like I keep waiting for it. But I don't know. It feels like maybe within the month they send him down and try to spark something.
Well, I mean, you can't just keep throwing him out there against major league pitching if he's doing what he's doing. I mean, he hasn't had a hit since the first series of the freaking season. I mean, And you got to get him some confidence. You hope sending him down maybe gets going. I mean, we've seen it in the past. Alvarado, most recently, what was that, 2022? I think he got sent down early in the year, came back, was awesome. So we've seen that work. It is something that is on the table. But, yeah, it's a problem. And especially, look, to your point, you know, we're a few months away from it, but Dombrowski has not given us any reason to believe that he's going to set the world on fire at the trade deadline either. And this is a team that's absolutely going to need some moves to help. What do you think of what's your take on how Topper has kind of managed the lineup? I think Bohm forced his hand. He had to move Bohm down the lineup, but look, all of a sudden we've got Stott leading off twice this weekend. And It seems like Topper is obviously searching for answers too. You know, we had talked a lot about, you know, not liking the idea of just flip-flopping lines in the first place, but you were more okay with it, but also it's like, just put Trey up there and let him do it. Like, now we've gone even further away from that. And it's like, you know, just who knows what lineup you're going to get. Where are you at with the way Topper's handled it so far?
Well, what I find interesting about Thompson is that for 2.5 years, his whole MO has been don't panic, don't panic. You guys are good. You guys are good.
He is panicking.
And it feels like he is. Again, it's tough because on one hand, you appreciate the sense of urgency, but on one hand, are you changing who you are and what these guys are comfortable with? And do they feel a certain level of tightness? The thing with that is, like, just go play better and it won't be tight. Like, just, and I know that sounds so simple and stupid, but I know that tightness can lead to bad baseball. I totally get that. But man, you know, it's easier to get rid of tightness is go play good and work strong at bats and do the things you need to do offensively. So I like this more, to be completely honest. I know the sticking with the lineups thing and showing confidence and riding it out, I know that's worked, but I just think these guys need a kick in the ass. And maybe they're trying to figure out right now who can handle it versus who can't. Who can handle the heightened sense of expectations and who's going to fold. And it might be rocky. It obviously has been rocky, but they need to figure that out because this is a team who was folded in two straight Octobers. It was good up until 6-7 of the Diamondback series, but then folded at the end of last season. Like, they need to see if guys can handle real expectations and not just the la-di-da, we're having fun and what a great place to play when everyone's there. Like, You gotta win a World Series. Like, it's the only thing that's gonna get people off your back because the city's on their back right now, 100%. And you know, I think they're on Rob Thompson's back. I think that's evident by how much shift there's been in the lineups and in some of the bullpen moves and stuff like that. So yeah, I like it. I know it's different than how he's done it in the past, but I think they need it, and I think they need the feeling of I'll be on the bench if I'm not doing the right thing today. And those little things, hopefully in the long run this season, get the best version out of these guys, or it doesn't. And you get some of the kids up here. And again, I keep watching them, and I think that they are. I think the Rincones and the Crawford. And I think Aiden's dealing with an injury, so it's been a really slow start to the season for him. But and even like Otto Kemp, who no one cares about, but I care about. Like I think that those kids and those guys. There is a certain level of toughness with them that I really do. I think that you watch them that maybe the guys in the big league roster don't have.
Good. Bring up the kids for toughness. That's what, you know. Yeah.
Well, because Crawford's been in big league clubhouses his entire life.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that does matter. I think that
I agree with you. And I totally look, I'm totally with you on the Topper thing. I would rather this version of Topper then it's fine. We'll get there. We'll figure it out. They'll hit. They'll whatever. Like, I want him to be aggressive. I'm okay with it. I just was surprised by how aggressive he's been this quickly. I did not expect to see Stott leading off. Like, and I just didn't.
And the other thing that we've talked about this, we documented it all season long. But Bryce is talking a lot, man. He's talking a lot. He's talking after games a lot more. He seems more ornery. He said yesterday, you know, it's about the name on the front, not the name on the back.
Was a really interesting comment. I was like, what? Where is that about, come from, dude?
Was that about him? Was that about maybe a certain third baseman?
I think it was definitely about a teammate. I think that was a message to a teammate, one way or another. Yeah.
Because the way he said it, he was saying it about himself too. He's like, I know I'm hitting 250 and like whatever. And we got to play for the name on the front of the jersey, not the name on the back of the jersey. He was lumping it in with himself, but like mm-hmm. he's so calculated totally. that I don't believe that he was trying to say that I got to play for the name on the front, because I think he believes he plays for the name on the front. That was definitely a wake up call to someone in there saying, you know, stop making this about you and do little things to help us win baseball games.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's right. I mean, the message that he's putting out there is right. All right. One more thing I want to get to before we get to the take bag. Wheeler. Look, he's gotten unlucky in some spots. Obviously, you know, we remember in Atlanta, if the Sosa Rojas play doesn't happen, that mm-hmm. Murphy homer probably doesn't happen. Who knows how the start goes, but look, back-to-back starts with 5 runs allowed, you know, mm-hmm. for whatever you want to take it for. And he wasn't great yesterday in St. Louis. Where you at with Wheeler? Anything at all to be concerned about, or just a little blip?
Yeah, well, what's interesting is that he seems a little worried about the velocity. You know, he mentioned that after the game, like, my velocity was down. And it looked like, even though at some points he was hitting 97, like 96, 97. I mean, on the Contreras home run, he was trying to set up on the outside corner and it missed middle in. So you rarely see Zach Wheeler miss like that. So maybe it was a case of overthrowing, trying to find the extra velocity, which we saw, obviously, that happened to Jordan Romano, and that didn't really work out well. Overall, no. I think that he is someone that, you know, I think there's little mechanical issues with him right now. That's what it seems like. And once they iron that out, he'll be fine. Velocity is one to definitely monitor if that's down, you know, as we continue to kind of go along here. I think it's interesting that, you know, his velocity down, Sanchez velocity down, yeah. Nola velocity down, Lazardo velocity down, Romano beginning of the season velocity down. So I don't think it's a team-wide approach, but that's a lot of guys that traditionally throw harder whose velocities have been down lower. So maybe that's just beginning of the season stuff, and I think as the season moves on, it'll be fine. But again, it was 75 and sunny yesterday in St. Louis. Not like it was freezing. So, you know, Wheeler. Yeah, I mean, to say I'm super concerned would be not true, but it's definitely something to monitor.
Yeah, it just you know, I couldn't really remember the last time we saw back to back, you know, kind of down outings from Wheeler. All right, before we get to the take bag, shout out to the Miller Lite account of the week. Today's Miller Lite bar of the week is the New Wave Cafe in Queens Village. Shout out to Queens Village, where you can watch all Phillies games with a $3.50 Miller Lite draft special. Go to newwavecafe.com. All right, what you got in the take bag, Fritzy?
Well, a lot of annoying stuff, but good. You know, a lot good. Of stuff
that I was hoping for. That's what
that
I was hoping
that we do. You know, on the starting staff in general, a lot of more battling rather than dominating. Now, they've done a good job, but like Sanchez battled on Saturday. It was not the most crisp Sanchez outing. Got 4 double plays, which doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, certainly for the Phillies. Remember, we were like, for a while, I feel like we did years of pods where we were like, we never get double plays. Never
could turn one. Yeah. Could never turn a double play. So, and again, just saying, Trey, not terrible defensively, as we signed him for. Mm-hmm. Good defense off the middle. That's what we wanted to see. So, but yeah, he battled Nola on Friday. Battled. It was not a great Nola outing, but again, he held in there, I guess. That's what you could say about it.
It's great. And, is that the new Nola?
Yeah, sure. Just battle.
I mean, is that what it is, though? I mean, it feels like Nola, like it feels like Nola always was like, you know, I know he's been, you know, year by year and type of thing, but you know, you could count on Nola to potentially pitch to like a 3 ERA or a 3.1 ERA. It feels like he's much more of a 3.6 to 4 ERA guy now. Yeah. Like just to put it simply, if you know what
takes I mean. Down 200 innings, strikes out 200, pitches to a 3-6, allows the most home runs in baseball. That's what we do. It's what we do. Lizardo battled, same kind of thing. So a lot of battling. We got the old stopper on the mound tonight, though. The old
Saiwan,
and they're facing Loop or whatever his name is. He's pretty interesting.
Is it Loop they're facing?
Or is it Rope?
Not Aaron Loop.
No, it's not Aaron Loop. No. Oh, it's Rope. R-O-U-P-P.
Oh, R-O-U-P. Yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Roop. He's the one who took our boy Hayden Birdsong out of the lineup. Or out of the starting rotation. So you know, you get the stopper on the mound tonight, you have to feel pretty good about that. So that's
the point we've reached. We're 2 weeks in. It's like, thank God Taiwan's on the hill. We're in great shape.
Yeah, I'm sure that won't backfire. The Giants are pretty frisky, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, they're annoying. What are they, 11-4, 10-4, or something like that? Yeah.
One of these random Giants years where they win 100+ games for no reason.
Sure. With no talent. Like sure.
Oh, hold on, man. They got Chapman out there.
Helio Ramos.
That's my boy. They got Jung Ho Lee, who I love.
They do. Yeah,
they have our boy Lamont Wade.
We love Lamont Wade here. Big Lamont Wade people.
We always love Lamont Wade. 47-year-old Justin Verlander is pitching well. For
that. I know. Is he pitching well?
The best reliever in baseball, in my opinion, Ryan Walker. That's going to be annoying.
Ryan Walker is nasty.
He's disgusting.
He's good. Yeah,
Rodriguez is very good. Camilo Duvall is kind of back, so they're not a bad team. It's the National League's tough this year. It just is.
I mean, it's so tough, dude. It's so tough.
People keep saying, what, 90-plus wins? There might be some really good 85 to 88 win ball clubs.
I mean, think about this. We didn't talk about it that way, but last year the Diamondbacks won 89 games and didn't make the playoffs. Last year that happened, you know. So it's
and they're way better this year too.
That's my point. I think the league is better this year.
It's a lot better this year. It really is. So it's definitely not your the pushover Giants they've been the last couple of years. Signs of life from Jordan Romano.
Come on,
who's excited?
I am, honestly. Thrilled.
Well, they need it.
I'm really serious. Yes, I'm very, very excited about it. Please don't suck, Jordan.
I was too engulfed in golf yesterday. So I did not. That's pretty good work. That's why they call me a pro. So I did not.
It was nice listening to our guy, Jim Nance.
Yes.
Rory heads up to the final hole.
Just think. That's
all these years waiting for this moment.
That's the 11th. We're only going to have 10 more.
It's true. And then he will finally resign, and it'll be a miracle. It'll finally happen. Yes. Comes all the way. Even though retire, resign, we'll go with it.
I've never heard of a 10-year retirement tour. one of the most insane press releases I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But just letting NBC or letting CBS know that I'm not.
See you now. Yeah.
You can't fire me.
No.
I
know. It's true. Yeah. He's like,
I got 10 more of these. I can't believe it's going to be the 100th Masters and then his 51st.
Like, that is pretty crazy. Yeah. That is pretty nuts.
He doesn't look that old. Like Jim Nance.
No. But he is. He's getting there.
He's going to call over half the Masters, 51 Masters.
That really is nuts. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
So only, cherish these moments. There's only 10 more Jim Nance years.
It's true.
On the Masters.
Really got to log in.
But I did not see the... Oh, by the way, how funny would it be? How funny would it be if T-Mac takes over for Jim Nance?
Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
I don't know if T-Mac has a golf voice.
I don't think so. No. I love T-Mac. Golf. Yeah, it'd be like me. It's exactly right. Yes. People be like, what is happening over there?
Only whispers. And no more Ian Eagle either. And, you know, we don't.
Ian?
No, it's Ian.
I
refuse to call
you
him.
You refuse. I think that's fair. You know, over yourself. Your name's Ian.
Exactly. So that's a long way of saying I did not rest my eyes on the Carlos Hernandez outing yesterday.
It wasn't great. I'll tell you that.
I'm choosing to watch Friday. Friday he was good, and Thursday he was good. So that's only things that mattered from the Carlos Hernandez breakout tour. Schwarber and Harper back to back in the lineup. Interesting. Needs to happen.
Something. Yeah.
There's a shiver down everyone's spine when they pitched around Harper in that final game of the Braves series and they said, oh, wait, hold on. Has this been something that sunk us in two straight postseasons? Should we maybe do something about it?
Well, it is. The way that Schwarber has hit lefties the last, you know, last year and so far this year, it does change the equation a little bit in a way. Yeah. You know, Seriously, though, like that was the whole idea, right? You can't have these lefty relievers to come in and face both those guys. Well, guess what? One of those guys rocks against lefty relievers, so no worries.
Yeah, did not love the report from Rosenthal that they started contract extensions and they didn't really progress anywhere. So it seems like he is going to hit the free agent market, which is going to make everyone around here tight heading into the offseason, because he's the second most important or second best and most important offensive Philly still, even though we're paying a shortstop $300 million. Mm-hmm, so, so good to see that. And I guess like the final thing is just the vintage. Well, of course, go to ringthebellbook.com.
I was like, the final thing, what are you doing? Hey, come on. You got this whole pub without pubbing the book.
Buy the book. It's going
to
be fun. It's a fun read. I got the edits back, so I got to do that.
You got to do some work.
I know.
You thought you were all done, and now it's like, oh, no.
I was so ready to kick my feet up.
Well, so I've never written a book. You know, props to you. Yeah. But when I was in grad school and I would have to do, like, the 40-page papers or whatever, the feeling when you're done those is, like, just euphoric. It's like I'm never writing again. That's amazing. I'm so happy to be done.
I thought I was done too, James, when I turned to my final my final paper of college. And then Kevin's like, hey, you want to write a Phillies book? And I was like, you know what? I do have a second kid coming. But I'll do it. You crazy son of a gun, I'll do it.
Oh, let's just see what happens. Let's do it.
Everything's fine. Everything's fine. And 458 pages later, here we are. To end it on a positive note for...
That wasn't a positive note.
Well, that was very positive.
Yeah,
that was
very positive. You know. Yeah. Same.
To end this on a really, really positive note that I would say maybe 5 to 10 people care about in these...
Oh, good. I can't wait to see where this goes.
Oh, hold on. Before we get to that, speaking of another positive...
Yes.
Tucker just glared at me from across the room, I think.
Tucker was ready to be done. Tucker was like, "Oh, I'm done. Sweet.
I'm getting a little getaway day vibes."
Yeah, right. There you go. Yeah.
But so for the fantasy baseball people out there, that the Fritz list, obviously, the thing that took over February and March for a lot of people, the Fritz list. A lot of guys are hurt. A lot of those guys are hurt.
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Generally, what happens when guys have sick stuff is they get hurt. Two guys that I think you should pick up. One, Joe Boyle.
He was on the original Fritz list,
but then he started the year in AAA, so we jumped
off. That's what happened. But when the original list you sent me, Joe Boyle was on it.
Yeah. Yep. And then listen, we've been burned by this guy in the past, but I promise you, he's a different man. Eddie Cabrera.
We're back on Edwin.
It's Edward Cabrera. It's not Edward.
Edward Cabrera.
I texted you about him, and you basically poo-pooed it, and then he.
I've owned Edward Cabrera many times over the last couple of years. 4 starts, and then the next start is usually not as good.
Just saying,
if you walked in an outing.
If you need a guy, Edward Cabrera is that. So speaking of changed men, this is the second to last thing again, because I keep thinking of things.
Sorry, Tucker.
Mick Abel continues to look better. I'm just letting everyone know. The problem is they don't need any pitchers right now, so I don't know what they're gonna do. But like,
can he play center field?
No, he cannot. He usually gives up shots to center field. And Joey Meneses smoked one. Well, he probably shouldn't have gone back out there for the inning.
Old school name, Joey Meneses.
I know.
At
one point was viewed as the Max Muncy of the Phillies. Yeah. He actually turned out to be all right for 1 year at the Nationals, but regardless, Abel continues to he's filling up the strike zone in a much better spot. He's striking out guys at a much better clip, not walking as many. So we're excited about that. We're all excited about Griff McGarry, who has not allowed a hit yet, but he has allowed
some walk issues. Yeah,
it's better, and he's striking out a ton of guys. So he's at Reading still. So would like to see how that transition goes to the big league or to the AAA. But you know, I don't know. This is something to monitor. They don't need pitching right now. They could use someone that could hit in center field and third base. But at least from that standpoint, it's good. And then a bold claim about one of the Phillies prospects is everyone talks about Eduardo Tait, who's awesome. We talk about Aiden. We talk about Rincones. We talk about Crawford. Like, Arun Escobar has to be in that conversation with all those guys. He is awesome. He is awesome. He is raking in Clearwater. Hitting over
400. There we go.
Yeah, and maybe could be the third baseman of the future if you put Aiden at shortstop.
Oh, really? Or left side of the infield just set. We're good.
Or the second base of the future. I'm pretty ruined up.
I can see that look on your face when it's like, you know, probably how you looked when Walker took his first step, like that kind of like just proud papa kind of vibe coming off you right now.
When you fall for a prospect, you fall hard. And
when you fall for a prospect, you fall very hard. Yes.
Yeah. Well, listen, it is what it is. So
it's true.
And Eduardo tell you, he continues to look the part, by the way. He will chase a lot, 100%. So that won't fix that.
Bombs, though.
He's got light tower power, as they used to say back in the day. So all is not well in the big leagues.
A lot of
exciting stuff down in the minor leagues. It's all good stuff. So
I hope
Arun Escobar, get your jerseys now.
I love it. All right. Tucker, enjoy the rest of your day. You did an okay job.
Get away day.
All right. Four game series. Will you take a split, or you want 3 and 4? Are you going to be selfish here?
With the current junction? Yeah, I'll take a split.
Yeah, I'd be very happy with a split.
I'll take a split all day. They do avoid Logan Webb, which is huge.
So
need to see that. Hunter Green's going to win NL Cy Young. He's disgusting. He is. I'm going to keep extending this to see how I know what I can make someone. He is what Mark Pryor was supposed to be.
Wow. Bold statement there.
Hunter Green. It's finally all connected. He's hit 100 miles an hour in the eighth.
Dude, teams are batting 126 against him.
He's disgusting. So he's what Mark Pryor was supposed to be. So we avoid him. They're not playing the Reds. They avoid Logan Webb, who was off to a good start of the season. And four game set. We'll have final out all those nights. And then I guess a new pod Friday?
Yeah, Thursday, Friday, somewhere in there. We'll make it happen. So,
all right,
Tucker, do your thing.
Good job.
He's Fritz Salzer.